Hi, I'm Josh Braun, and you're listening to the Inside Selling Podcast, a podcast about selling without selling your soul, where you'll learn how to become a better salesperson through the simple acts of being curious and thinking like a buyer, not a seller. If you want to become a millionaire, hang out with millionaires. Want to become a better guitar player? Hang out with really good guitar players. And if you want to learn how to become a better cold caller, then listen to this podcast, because I'm going to be chatting with Jackie Lipnicki, one of the best cold callers I've ever had the pleasure of speaking with. But it wasn't always that way for Jackie. When she started cold calling, she would have pits in her stomach. But eventually she was able to figure it out and crushed meeting quota consistently using an approach that she created that not only was effective, but also felt really good on her soul. Now Jackie's managing a team of salespeople, teaching them her approach to cold calling. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's dive in.
I remember being directly in my cubicle, picking up for the very first time, dialing, and somebody actually answered. And I remember going, I'm Jackie. I think I work at ION, and I was really just hoping to talk to you about ways I can help your team. And she said, okay. And I was like, can I book time with you tomorrow? And she said, okay. And I was like, thanks. And everybody around me stood up and they cheered and they freaked out because I technically booked my first demo, but oh my God, I don't think I said a coherent word in anywhere throughout the entire sentence. And the pit in my stomach was the biggest pit I had ever had in my entire life.
What is that from?
I think part of it is you believe that you're new to the role, and 9 times out of 10, if you're in a cold calling job, you're calling somebody that's typically a decision maker. So they're higher up, either at a big organization or even at a smaller organization as an owner. And so there is this innate feeling that I'm inadequate if I'm calling this person. I'm new to the role. I'm in an entry level position. This guy's a decision maker. They've done a lot more with their life. I shouldn't be picking up. I shouldn't be calling them. They shouldn't be taking me seriously. And it's a shift in mindset, recognizing that you've already been through some kind of training. You've learned what it is about your product. You've learned how you help people in a market, why your product was designed. And once you start to develop that trust and understanding, you realize that you can provide a lot of value to these people. They don't know everything about everything. And it takes a long time, but it is a mental shift that occurs. And that's when you notice that people that are brand new shift from developing to good to great.
I love that. You know, you're a new SDR, you're coming out of college. Maybe you lived in Charleston, maybe you lived in Tallahassee. Maybe you know a lot about guitar playing. Maybe you know a lot about the restaurants. And yet you're calling someone that's a CMO. You've never done their job before. And so it can feel intimidating. How do you get to know your audience? I know you mentioned training, but are there other ways to get to know the people that you're calling so that you could feel a little bit more confident that you understand their world?
Yeah, there are tons of different things. I know a lot of what I focus on and what I talk to a lot with people that I help to mentor and coach is understanding different personas that you're reaching out to and the challenges that they face. It's really daunting to try to have a conversation with anyone from any industry, but if you can start to break it down and say maybe these are some specific industry challenges and these are the ways that the specific decision makers within these industries think, then you can start to boil it down a little bit and make it much more tangible. In addition to developing, just natural training assets, you also can do things like networking, signing up for different newsletters, really just making sure that you're up to date on industry knowledge, because if you know what's going on in your industry, then you can constantly come to the table with new ideas.
I love that. And something else that I recommend that's pretty simple, would love to get your take on this, Jackie, is ask your manager if you could talk to a few customers. You know, and figure out what was going on in your business that eventually caused you to start shopping and ultimately caused you to start to buy us. And I think you'll also find when you do that, to Jackie's point earlier, you'll start to get pumped up. You're like, wow, we've really helped these people. And I think a lot of times with the BDRs, they don't really know, like, are we really helping this? So there's this thing inside which is like, am I kind of going through the motions? I really don't believe. I guess that's the question I have. Like when you were first starting out, Jackie, and I know it's been a couple of years, but did you really in your heart of hearts believe when you were picking up the phone? And if not, did that add to some of your anxiety?
I can tell you when my biggest shift happened. When I first started picking up the phone, I remember just feeling like my job was to book a demo. And anytime that somebody actually agreed to it or anytime that I even asked for it, I felt so guilty because I'm the kind of person that likes to help. And anytime that they said yes, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I got them to do it. I tricked them. I coerced them. I can't believe these people are doing it. we had a great product. I mean, I really firmly believe in what we were selling, but it was just that I was told, like, you're supposed to get them to do it. So when they did what I wanted them to do, I immediately had this, oh my God, if I win, they lose. And it wasn't until later on that I realized that the more that I was winning, the more that my prospects were winning, the more that they were winning because they became customers and they were doing more with their businesses. And so once I understood what role I delivered to the organization as well as to my prospects, I felt much more confident in what I could do to help. But it wasn't until I realized that I was helping others that it didn't become a challenge. Prior to that, it was brutal trying to ask people for a demo. I just felt like, oh my God, if they say yes, then I've basically manipulated them into saying yes.
Right. And that's because you were feeling like if they booked this meeting, it was like not something that you thought would make them better. You didn't really understand. You knew you had to book a meeting and you were kind of reading the script. I used to be a teacher. I used to call it barking at print. We'd have these kids that were 7, 8 years old reading perfectly, but then you would ask them what the stuff meant and they'd be like, oh, like barking at print. So it sounds like you were going through the motions, but you really weren't believing that what you had was going to help someone be more awesome or be better. And then you had a shift when all of a sudden you did start to believe that. Take us back to that, because I think that's a really important point. A lot of people I think I speak to struggle with this, which is, and when we have these deep conversations, I call it just between us girls conversations, where it's like, do you really in your heart of hearts really believe that what you're doing is going to help someone do something fundamentally better? And I always use the example, I do a stupid example called, you know, Unshrink It. There's this product that unshrinks wool sweaters if you accidentally put in the dryer. You go, someone bought a $300 sweater, they accidentally shrunk it. It was their favorite sweater. They saved up for a week to buy it or 2 weeks. And then they didn't even know your product existed. And you called them and they were like, oh my God, thank you. I could now wear this awesome red sweater out next Saturday night. Thank you. Thank you. Do you believe that for your product? And usually the answer when we really peel that back is, I don't really know. Like, I don't think so. So take us back. Like, how did you get to that point? How did you have that flip?
Well, two things. First of all, I saw that Shark Tank episode for Unshrink It. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But I think, so I'll tell you what I do now from a manager training point is the first thing I do whenever anyone makes it, we have a 4-week onboarding class. And as soon as they get out, the first thing I do is say to them, do you understand how Sales Loft is going to help you to do your job better? Do you understand why this is important to your role? And do you understand why other people out there wish that they had what you have right now? And they say yes. And once I've got them, our product happens to help SDRs and account executives, and I oversee the SDR department. So to me, it was always just, if you understand the value you're providing, it's easier to sell it. In my last job, I was selling a marketing content software, and I knew next to nothing about marketing content. So it wasn't until I actually had dinner with my brother's best friend, who was a chief marketing officer, and we started talking about their content and his plans and their strategy and his roadmap and all the things that he struggles with and where he's going to go to develop this and how expensive it is for that. And I was like, oh my God, my product helps you with all these things. And I was so excited because I was like, what a great opportunity. You actually want this. And it was just having a meaningful conversation with someone I genuinely cared about and recognizing my product could help that I was like, wow, I want to help other people.
I love that. And generally speaking, people don't switch until there's a big enough struggle, right? I talk about this all the time. I have a barbecue, only half of it works, but I'm just cooking for my wife and I. The salmon is fine on one half of the grill. Someone were to cold call me and try to sell me a grill, I'm not going to switch. But if both sides started to go on the fritz, or my wife said we're having a party for 10, all of a sudden there's a struggle there. So this idea of you learning the struggle and understanding fundamentally, I call it the infomercial. There's the before. Here's all the things they were doing from a content marketing perspective. And I guess when you're over at ION, these are all the things they're doing that are taking forever, that are not working, that are laborious. And then here's the after, right? The car cane. Are you 68 years old, trying to get out of the car, knees hurt, pushing off, need someone to pull you out? That's the struggle. Introducing the car cane. You just put it on your door. Now you can get out independently. And for someone who is not able to get out of a car independently, when they see the car cane, it's as if, as Steve Jobs says, when he introduced iTunes to the Windows ecosystem, it's like giving water to people in ice water to people in hell. It's like, oh my God, thank you. So Jackie, this is a super important point. If you're not doing the job of your customers, this idea of getting into their world, right? It's sort of like interviewing them, getting, you had a dinner with somebody. Do you recommend if you didn't have the luxury of using the same product that you're selling, how do you get, you know, closer? I know we mentioned talking to people, going to conferences, but this is a really key thing here.
One of the biggest things that we do really well is share our wins. So for one thing, anytime that we have a deal closed, an automatic email goes out to the entire company saying, here's the deal that we won. Here's the amount that it closed for. Here's who their incumbent was. And here's the reason we won. And so everybody's able to see basically why we won, all the things that we did within that deal, and kind of understand from a high level perspective what we did. Not only that, but it's sent out automated from an email through Salesforce reports. So we then have that basically in our emails to sort through. So anytime someone says, how did you win over your competitor XYZ? We can go back and look at all of those notes and really easily go, boom, boom, boom. These are a few different examples of how we've done that. And it just makes you believe in the bigger picture and what you're here to do.
Yeah, and I think so part one of this, as we're coming to the end of part one, and we're going to go into part two, is a belief, a fundamental, deep, not just a surface belief, that what you have to offer is going to help someone else kick more ass. I mean, another stupid example, God forbid you knew someone that had cancer. If you had the cure for cancer, of course they would be happy to hear from you. Of course, this is not that. But in a sense, someone spends a lot of time at work, and if you can help them do something better. Okay, so part number two. Once I get that, there's something else that I hear often, Jackie, when I speak to new BDRs or people that are just calling for the first time, is this, God, I feel bad like I'm intruding on someone. Like, I don't want to be that person, like that mall kiosk person that's like saying, can I squirt lotion on your hand? Like, it feels, as I say in their words, it feels icky. So talk to us a little. Did you go through that in the early days as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're trained our entire lives basically to be polite, to not interrupt people's days, to be respective of your elders and to respect people that are higher up than you and to look up to them. And now you have to completely shift your mindset and not only have to call these people, barge in on their day and interrupt them, but you also then have to come at them with a ton of value and figure out how you're going to prove that you're not necessarily smarter than them, but how you know something that they don't know. And so it is terrifying, and it makes sense that people have a really hard time with it. If you can kind of go back to earlier in the conversation, when I was discussing how, you know, I didn't realize that it was good until I realized I was helping. People in sales are constantly taught to find the pain. And so it's figure out what's wrong with that grill, figure out why only half of it's working, figure out why you can only make salmon for two people. And then when you can make them think differently, then you can completely change everything. And it's true and it's right, but you focus so much on this word pain that especially for a new rep, they're not used to doing, they're not used to putting the worst thing about a person's day in front of them and saying, actually, this is your biggest problem, Josh. So it is a huge mindset shift change. And it isn't until you've adapted to the fact that, like, you're not doing this to make their day worse. You're genuinely doing this from a place of offering them something that can make their day better. If you know the right people to reach out to and come at them with the right messaging.
I love that. We're going to get into this soon, but I've listened to several of Jackie's calls, not live, obviously, but things that she's, you know, role played. And one of the things I noticed about you, Jackie, too, when you make a call, it's not so much that you're focusing on a pain. It's always like, I can help you do this thing better. It's not like coming at this like you suck at this, and because no one wants to hear about problems and pain. It just bums you out, man. But everyone, I think, in life wants to just be happier. They want to make a little progress, no matter what you do or what you're doing, what you're jamming in. Like, they just want to be a little happier. I mean, happiness is dependent on who you're calling. Everyone's definition of happiness is contextual, but we just want to make a little progress, a little bit here and there. Okay, so now you're kind of at this point where you're, when you started off, you're following this script, and at some point you kind of crack this where you're starting to figure out, what exactly do I have to say to be able to get people to want to continue to talk to me for another 5 or 6 seconds? And you have this really interesting epiphany, I think, where you talk about how you start to leverage things you learned about them. But you do it in a way that doesn't take 20 hours. Cause this is, you know, I know people listening to this, I don't have to, Jackie's not, we're going to hear her approach. This isn't like 20 hours of research. This is literally some interesting things she's doing. So Jackie, take us back. You start to have this epiphany, like, how do I make people more interested or in what it is that I have to say? And how do you start to think about that?
So I'll kind of real quick, shameless plug. Salesloft was the tool I used in my last job, and it's why I moved over here as a company. But the biggest reason was because it was my differentiator, because what Salesloft does is while you're making all of your calls, your emails, your social media touches, it actually shows you like your prospect's LinkedIn page, their Aller competitors, their disc profile. So you can figure out literally right there all the things that you need to do in order to approach them in a way that's going to be relevant to them. But for me specifically, what I always did was I kind of trained my brain to read a LinkedIn and read it in a way that I could understand their background. So I would say something along the lines of, I saw you're focused on bullet point A, bullet point B, and bullet point C, all things that I have conversations about every single day. Wanted to talk to you about how I'm helping other marketing or sales leaders in your space to accomplish XYZ goals. Just wanted to see if I could earn a few minutes of your time, walk you through a couple different best practices and strategies, and see if these are things you guys can start to leverage to make your team more effective.
All right, so guys, Jackie said a lot there. This is what I like to do. Hopefully this is okay with you, Jackie. I'd love to put you on the spot here. Either we could be you at Ion or you at your Sales Loft job. And I'd love to just hear how this sounds. And I know there's lots of different people that you sell to, but here's the takeaway. I'm going to find out what this person wants. I'm going to find out what would make this person happier. How am I going to do that? I'm going to go on their LinkedIn profile and I'm going to see, what are they interested in? Are they interested in demand generation? Are they interested in getting more sales? Are they interested in efficiency? We're going to pick up on this. And it has to be something, obviously, that ladders back to how you can make them happier. So we're going to go through a scenario where Jackie has found a little nugget. So Jackie, give me a person that you would typically call, again, even at Ion or at your new job, up to you.
So it's funny we're doing this. This is actually an exercise I do with every single new hire in sales, customer success, enterprise leadership, like the whole nine. And I actually pull up different LinkedIn profiles for them. And then we go through and we say, what are the three bullets that you pull out in this intro? What are the three things you can look at skimming at this real quick?
So, and Jackie, you've gotten so good at this that you're able to do this. This was pretty wild, I thought, because I was not doing this. I would do this thing where I would do all the research beforehand. I'd put it in a spreadsheet and then I'd make the dials. But Jackie's so good at this and she's going to teach you her process that she actually, while the phone is ringing, she actually has the profile pulled up and is able to do it that quickly. So Jackie, just take us through that process. Give us the name of a person, or we don't need their name obviously, but hey, here's the type of person that I think I can make happier. Like who would that be?
Sure, so right now I can help VPs of sales.
Okay, VPs of sales. And what makes a VP of sales happier as it relates to your offering?
So basically what we're gonna do is help to make their reps more productive, help to make their day more efficient, and ultimately help to get better data in Salesforce so they have more accurate reporting and visibility.
Okay, so those are things, if you don't know VPs of sales, let's just take Jackie at her word, that those are things that would make a VP of sales happier because she knows this. And so like we pull up a profile, person's name is Josh, maybe the person's name is Jason, and what are you looking for specifically that you're going to sort of leverage in some of your script?
So an exercise I've done at every company I've been at is I look at what are problems that we solve for and then what are challenges that our typical persona has. And so what I'm ultimately doing when I'm looking at their profile is figuring out which one of my talk tracks can I go down. So for me right now, I'm saying, okay, I know that we help with productivity and I see here that one thing he wants to do is find a way to make his reps a more oiled or create a more oiled machine for his sales team, or to drive more predictability in their revenue forecasting. And so I'll pull out these tiny little nuggets that I know how to talk about, and then I just stick to the same value prop that I talk about all the time. When you try to overcomplicate it and try to figure out how you can help every person in every scenario, you lose. But I pick the same five value props over and over again, and I just get good at it.
Because these are universal truths, right? A VP of sales at any company is going to be interested in pretty much these cornerstone things. So you pick up on productivity, and then you will, that's really all you need, right? You need just one or two of these things. And so then let's just see how this sounds. Because I used to be a VP of sales back in the day. So I'm going to pick up the phone. Hi, this is Josh.
Hi, Josh. It's Jackie calling from Sales Loft.
Hey, Jackie. I've not heard of you.
Okay, no problem. So Josh, I know I'm jumping in the middle of your day here, but the reason I'm calling is because I've been working with a lot of other VPs of sales like you. Just wanted to share a couple different best practices to help make your team more productive, more efficient. And just was trying to learn a little bit about what you guys are doing today in order to make your team more effective in the way that they're going to market.
It sounds good, but I'm kind of, you know, running into a meeting shortly.
Yeah, most VPs of sales are. So I'll take maybe 20 seconds while you're walking out the door. Basically, what I want to do is talk to you about how every single rep that you have is probably spending about 64% of their day in administrative tasks within Salesforce. Basically, that means your reps are leaving every Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon. I want to have every single one of your reps working till Friday by putting that time back into their day. Can I give you a couple different tips? Maybe later this week, we can set up 45 minutes and I'll walk you through what that looks like.
Okay, so let's dissect this, man. Guys, you're like, wow, you're hearing a pro. So for people starting off, like, how did she do that? Well, she's been doing that for a long time. So don't feel too intimidated. But a couple things I want to unpack. At the beginning, Jackie, talk a little bit about your opening was, hey, this is Jackie. Does my name ring a bell? What's your intention with that opening? Is this because you've sent them an email before or?
It's a few things. One, it's a pattern interrupt. Two, it's not just like a how are you, because then they know that I'm a salesperson. And three, it's a familiarity check. So from this point, I know if they've been seeing my emails, if they've been seeing that I've been looking at their LinkedIn profile, I know whether or not they've been getting my calls. If nothing else, even if I've never reached out to them before this call, I know I've looked at their LinkedIn. So they should have seen some kind of blurb about Jackie's been looking at your profile.
I get it. So again, here, this is not something that we're doing in a slimy kind of way. This is done with integrity. And so I also noticed something else about you, Jackie, that was really interesting. The tonality, like really very positive, and would like to get your perspective on this about the importance of tonality and why you're kind of a very upbeat.
Thank you. it's a huge part of what we talk about within my team. So for example, I actually, whenever I have a new rep come in, we have four questions that I just drill them on, and it's why sales loft? What problems do we help solve? How are we going to help someone keep their job? And how are we going to help someone get promoted? And they have to know those things like the back of their hand. But the minute that we start running those drills and they're just repeating the language back to me, we stop. Nope. How would you say that on a phone call? Nope. How would you say that on a phone call? Nope. What's that tone going to look like? Because it's equally as important to have the right words and to know how to believe in what you're selling as it is to have the right voice to say it. If you're not confident, then no one believes you.
Totally. Yeah. And I also noticed too, something else in your confidence in the tonality. I think I would love to hear your perspective on this. When you're near someone that's positive and they're upbeat, it's almost impossible for you to be Debbie Downer. This is a reference to a Saturday Night Live character that's going to be lost on Jackie because she's at least 30 years younger than me, but that's a character, you know, Debbie. Okay. So it's, if you are like positive, the positive energy is, it's contagious. But if you call and you're like, hi, my name, that's kind of like a bummer. And so I think there's a lot of that as well. Something else that you did really, Jackie, the next thing was, you said, hey, we're helping VPs of sales that are typically looking for these kind of challenges. And you're picking that up right from their profile, right? You're saying, hey, looking to make their product team more efficient. And then you're kind of laddering that back to how you help. But something else you did that was really interesting, I thought, was you really took a firm position in why this is a problem. You said something like, you know, 64% of your reps aren't as productive as they can be, which means they're not hitting the phones as much, which means they're not booking as many meetings. Like, you're taking a real sort of challenger position. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of that. And have you always done that? Or is that something new? Or
It's definitely something that I would say is newer to me at SalesLoft than it was over at my last job. At my last job, it was really more about like, I can help you to be more efficient. I can help you to be more effective. I can help you to be more this. And now, because I'm targeting salespeople at this job, people in sales are typically a little bit more fast-paced or high energy. They want to go, go, go. I'm not reaching out to marketers. So knowing my audience meant that I had to change up my strategy in order to speak to them in a way that's going to make them want to hear me and listen to me, because these people sell all day. They want to be sold to someone that knows what's up.
That's it, man. I mean, what I picked up on right there was authority. Like, this person is the personal trainer that has a plan rather than the personal trainer that walks in and says, what would you like to work out on today? I'm like, I don't know. You're the personal trainer. Like, you tell me what you want me to do. Just so people can get another sense of this. Go back, Jackie. Let's go back to Ion, because this is a little bit, everyone's like, oh, that's a little soft salespeople, but not, she was selling to marketers. So let's actually feel, do you remember that? I'm sure you've done it 100 times. Let's go back and let's pretend now I'm a marketer responsible for demand generation. And for people that don't know what that word means, it means I produce content, I put it out into the world in the hopes that people read it and eventually think it's so great and interesting that they call me and want to start a conversation with me, otherwise known as inbound marketing. So Jackie's product at Ion used to help with that. So let's pretend I'm a marketer. I'm going to pick up. Hi, this is Josh.
Hi, Josh. It's Jackie calling from Ion. Does my name sound familiar?
A little bit. I think I got a couple of emails from you, actually.
Yeah, you probably did. I know I've sent over a couple of things. I'll keep this really quick. The reason that I'm reaching out is because I've been working with other marketers in the demand gen space, basically to find ways to make their content more effective, to find ways to make it more measurable, and ultimately to have help you have better insights into your leads so that you know how your sales reps can better convert on them. Just wanted to talk to you about a couple of different ways I might be able to help.
That sounds good. Can you send me some information?
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy to send over some information. You and I both know, though, that you probably get about 200 emails a day. If I send that, it's going to get lost. Why don't I just spend the next 3-4 minutes here, see if this is something that can help you? And if it is, great. We'll set up time when I'm not jumping into the middle of your day.
Okay. So again, we're hearing, you know, sales is about leadership. I'm going to be attracted to people that can take me to better. And this, I'm hearing the confidence. Like, Jackie, were you always, how do you develop this confidence? I mean, does it just come with time and success? Because you make this sound pretty effortless, but I know there's a lot of people listening to this that are like, oh my God, how does she sound? She's shredding that guitar. Like, how do you work that muscle with your new people? I mean, is it just repetitive practice? How do you get good at this skill?
Well, you'll notice both of our mock calls, I've tried to go for the demo within the first like 3 minutes of us talking, probably closer to the first 30 seconds. That's something a lot of my new reps fear. They try to talk for like 15, 16 minutes about all the different ways we can help. And by that time, I'm like, oh my God, like, why are they going to take another call with you? You just wasted 15, 16 minutes of their day. To me, I want to go for the demo. And here's the biggest thing is people think that as soon as the calendar has been pulled up on both sides, the call is over, and that's not true. So what I do is I'll say, okay, Josh, so I'll share a couple different ways I can help. You really just want to set up 45 minutes with you for a better time. Great. Now we're looking at our calendars. We've come up with a time that works. And this is when I get to ask you those qualifying questions on the back end. Great. So you and I are going to talk on Tuesday at this time. What are the things that you're really going to want us to focus on? What are your top priorities going into this, you know, quarter, this month, this year? Knowing that you just brought up that those are your biggest priorities. Is there anyone else that you feel like should be involved in this conversation that's also tackling that with you? And are there other people on this team that you feel like might have some insight that can help us? Whatever it is, depending on your org or how you go to market, you know, for us, we want to know how many salespeople they have. So I'll ask a question like, just so I know, what does your sales team look like? So that way I can tailor the conversation for you.
I love this. And here's another thing that's a key insight when I heard this, Jackie, is that you're not just booking any old meetings. Ultimately, you want to book meetings that ultimately will convert and move through the pipeline. It's not about more. I hear this all the time. I want to set 20, 25. Some of the best people that I know are setting half of that, but they're converting at a higher. And I know you are one of those people as well, Jackie. Can you talk a little bit about this idea of quantity versus quality?
Yeah. So a big part of this is even, let's say we've already gone through the calendar. We've already set up time. Now we're having this conversation on the back end for qualifying. I can still say to you, honestly, Josh, I don't really want to waste 45 minutes of your time. I know we just booked this, but knowing that you guys are using the wrong CRM that we don't integrate with, or knowing this, like, I don't want to waste your time either. Definitely, I think we had a great conversation today, but I'll follow back up with you when that's something we can help out with. And then I don't book it.
Isn't that amazing? Like, isn't that that's a truly different perspective, right? Because oftentimes it's like, I got 25 meetings, I got 20 meetings. I'm like, yeah, but none of these meetings are moving. And I think everyone would agree, better to have fewer that are more likely to progress. I love that. Jackie, talk about something else here, making the meeting stick, right? So a lot of times these meetings get booked, they're called show rate. I have a perspective on this, but I would love to hear your perspective on how do we make sure or increase our chances that people are actually going to show up for these meetings.
So glad you asked. This is a huge
right now. I tee these things up for Jack. I float. I'm like I float them out there, and she's like, "Thank you, Josh." She's like a straight man. Go ahead.
So there are a few things that we do. For one, SalesLoft, our whole goal is to create a better buying experience. So one thing that we'll do is if we're having some good conversations with somebody, but we really want the meeting to stick, we'll do things like offer to send them a gift card for lunch. We'll offer to, you know, we've done things like somebody got the flu and missed a meeting. So we'll send over a can of soup as just kind of a get well soon when you're back in the office. We'd love to reconnect. So those are some really small things you can do that aren't expensive and that are pretty easy that just show that you genuinely care. A couple other things is one, sending over in that calendar invite some details as to what you're going to be going over in the call. So we talked about those qualifying questions on the back end. What do you want to get out of this? That calendar invite reminds them of the conversation. Most importantly, I think we would all agree, is booking it sooner than later. So we don't say, do you have time 3 weeks out from now? We say, do you have time this afternoon or early tomorrow morning? And kind of leading with that question of, hey, do you have time this afternoon or tomorrow morning, instead of what time looks good for you?
I love that. Yeah, the further out you go, the less likely it is to stick. Something else too, rather than talking about what your product is, what you're going to do, your benefits, talk to them about what they're going to get out of it and what new thing they're going to learn. Jackie did a masterful job of this and saying, you know, new insights, new things that you haven't learned before. People are really attracted to new. They're not as attracted to things they already know. I talked a lot about this when I did the Geico account. I wouldn't come into Geico and say, you know, your conversion rates are lower than they can be. Like, we know that. We've got a couple of ideas that you may not have thought of before to help you increase the number of quotes people complete online. What new things? What are you talking about? Like, that kind of stuff is like dangling candy in front of a baby. So Jackie did such a great job on that, which is, and Jackie, maybe talk a little bit about this idea of, I have to provide something new to people. I can't just say stuff that people already know because it's not interesting enough, even if it's a value.
So I'll kind of talk to you about a few different things here. For one, I used to work at an interactive content marketing company, Ion. No one knows what that means. Now I work with an engagement software company. No one knows what that means. So when my reps reach out, I don't tell them to say, hi, my name is Jackie and I'm calling for my sales engagement platform. I say, hey, my name is Jackie and I'm calling to talk to you about ways that we can help you to better engage with your buyers. So it's getting rid of that overarching description that means nothing and leading with value. The other part of that, kind of like you said, with bringing in new, is I've made the entire team try to scrap the words demo, software, and platform from their vocabulary. And instead, what they do is they say, I'd like to talk to you about some best practices, walk you through some strategies, talk to you about some initiatives that could help to make your team more productive. And now people are coming to these demos with all these thoughts of, wow, I'm going to get new ideas. I'm going to learn something different. I have this vision of grandeur. And then they're sitting there going, well, how can you help with this? How can you help with this? And we go, so glad you asked, here's this demo, rather than us just opening the door and saying, hey, we'd really love to show you our platform. Our platform is so great. Our platform will change your lives. Me, 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 my platform, instead of you, 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 your results, your results.
If you're listening to this podcast, do you know how lucky you are right now? I mean, there's tons of stuff that you could be listening to, but if you're listening to this, you are really lucky because this is major gold. Words matter. And when I hear demo, there's just this negative thing, like I'm going to get sold a product. But when I hear insights, new perspectives, new ideas, things that you may not have thought of before, like what are those things? And I would imagine, Jackie, correct me if I'm wrong, when you do get on the demo with a sales loft, sure, there might be time to go ahead and do the product demo, but I would imagine you kind of start off with sharing some perspectives of things that, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if your company is opening up a demo with here's our platform, you've already potentially lost a lot of business. What you really want to be doing is showing some best practices and strategies and helping people to understand why you guys exist. And then you can show them the platform alongside it, but helping with your value prop and key benefits are going to be much more important than doing a demo of individual features. Features come after they're bought in and why they want this.
I love it. All right, last part of the interview. Let's talk a little bit about objections. We role played a few of them and they kind of rolled off your tongue. I would imagine there's like three or four that always come up. Let's talk about first how you practice with your team getting good at objections.
So we have kind of a cool scrum schedule. Every Monday and Tuesday, they're automatically paired a junior rep with a senior rep and we hang it on the wall and say, okay, you guys are going to go and do a mock call together, and then you're going to give each other, you know, an objection about it's beginning of the month. Or in January, we said a lot of people are going to say SKO. So they would role play it individually. Wednesdays, we do one person comes to the front of the room, and we actually do a demo or like a mock call in front of everyone for grows and glows. Thursdays.
Wait, what is that? Grows and glows. What is that?
Basically where you can grow in your call. So where what your cons were and then what your grows were, like, or where you've grown, like what you did better this week than the last time.
God, I just want to groove on that. That's fantastic. So many times as reps, we get beaten up as to what we did wrong. But I love this idea of like, here's one thing you can improve. Not that you did wrong, right? It's like the words matter. Like you listen to Jackie, she's not talking about problems. She's talking about possibilities. Ooh, that was good. I might tweet that. That was pretty good, guys, right? Come on. All right. And she was also talking about one thing you could improve, not one thing you did wrong. And then one thing you did really well. Like I'm going to be motivated much more than with that than you did all these things wrong. Like it's I'm pumped up even listening to it. I love the phrase. The words matter. I love it. Oh, sorry, Jackie. I just had to groove on that a little bit. It was awesome.
No, you're great. I always joke. I say I learn more from Shark Tank and Law and Order than I do anything else, because it's all about how you can reframe something. And then that's what helps me to be better in my conversations.
Yeah, reframing it. Fantastic. So how do you teach people, like, what's your perspective on objections? I know we went through, you know, send me some information. You kind of just, from my perspective, kind of just called my bluff and is like, yeah, that's, you're kind of like calling me out, saying you probably don't really want information. You're kind of just being real, I guess. Talk to me about that.
So if they say send me information over email, it typically means that there's some level of interest because they wrote back. So someone who says send me information over email, I treat differently than send me information over phone. Send me information over email, I typically respond with something like, hey, I'd love to send over some information, but given that you and I have never actually spoken before, I don't know what's going to be really relevant for you. I'd love to understand what you're really focused on so that I can send over some materials that are going to matter to you instead of just blowing up your inbox with more crap.
But on a phone, it's a little, but on a phone, you were a little bit more like, send me some information. You were like, hey man, you probably don't really want information. You really either want an answer to a question or you just want to get off the phone. That's kind of what you're fleshing out, right?
Right. And 9 times out of 10, anyone saying to you on the phone, like, just send me information, they're just getting off the phone and they're not too polite. We're trained to be polite. So rather than them saying, I don't want to talk to you right now, they'd say that because it's less rude. But it's also a bigger waste of time on my part to now send them information that they're also not going to read. So I'd rather take the risk and say, before I send you information, like, is this even something that you're genuinely interested in? Why do you want me to send you information? What are you looking to get out of this? Let's talk for another 2 minutes so I can figure out what you care about. And if it makes sense, let's set up a call. And if it doesn't make sense, what am I going to send you? You already know by that point you don't want this.
Totally. It's interesting. I was role playing a call yesterday, doing some role play with a potential client. And while we were doing the role play, I said, oh, let's make some calls during the actual, while we're doing it. She made some calls and then she hung up on someone, and that person called her back while we were on the Zoom, and she kind of did the pitch and they said, well, I got to run into a meeting. Now, someone like you would have said, well, they're taking the time to call me back. They're probably not really running into a meeting. Let's just play that out. Like, cause you know, she was new. And she said, okay, you know, which would be natural because, like you said, Jackie, it's just natural. Like, I want to be polite and respectful. And often we talk about this parent to a child relationship. This is from the psychologist, Dr. Eric Burns. When we're salespeople, we think we're like little and small. We're a child talking to the parent, and we got to do everything the parent says. And Jackie's kind of like more adult to adult because she's learned this over time. But Jackie, let's talk about that in a nice way. Someone actually calls you back. Because you hung up, they didn't know who it was. They just saw the number, like, who is that? They call you back and you kind of give your little thing and they say, oh, I have to run into a meeting, and action, Jackie.
Well, let me ask you this. What time is it when you're calling me back?
Well, I'm running into a meeting right now, so I can't really talk this second.
Yeah, no problem. It's actually 1:08. I've never heard of a meeting starting at 1:08. So I'm guessing you probably don't have your meeting starting until about 1:15.
So you really go there. So you really go there.
You gave me a BS answer, so I'm going to call you out on your BS. Now, if you call me at 1:14 and you say I have a 1:15, I might say, give me 1 minute. And I'm going to really try to understand, because more often than not, people are just inclined to say what they think is less rude, but it's, and don't be wrong, I don't think of myself as a rude person at all, but I do want to stand my ground and say, I finally have you on the phone and I've called you 13 times over the last 26 days. Like, please give me this 1 minute to at least try to get my value prop across to you. If it doesn't matter, no problem. We can part ways as friends. I don't want to bother you, but I also don't want to keep wasting my time hounding you down.
I totally get it. It's the theme here is just kind of getting real. And I guess we're not proposing you use exactly Jackie's words, but the idea here is that if someone's saying this to you, and it's a natural reaction, right? We all have that negative thing that we've had happen with a salesperson at the mall or the telemarketer, or we tried to cancel our Comcast and they're beating us up. And so it's a natural reaction to be guarded. We walk into a department store and the store associate says, can I help you? We say no, even though we're walking into a department store. It's just our natural reaction. And I think Jackie does a really nice job of saying, hey, that's gonna be expected. And we got to roll through that a little bit. And Jackie, is your experience when you do that, people are just more open and honest with you? Sometimes the dialogue continues, or sometimes they tell you, hey, this is just never going to happen. You sense it's real. Then you're like, great. The world's a big place. I'm moving on to the next thing. You kind of have this feeling of abundance, I'm sensing.
Yeah. So one of two things happens. I don't have the silver bullet and I don't get the yes that I want every single time. So there are definitely occasions where people say, listen, I'm just trying to be real with you. Like, I'm not interested. And I can say, just out of curiosity, why aren't you interested? You haven't heard anything yet. Or, you know, at that point, sometimes they're annoyed and they hang up, and other times they'll give me the chance. The other thing that's funny that I've actually taught a lot of people that have reported to me to do is have kind of a natural fake laugh that they can bring out. Because when you're able to just kind of level set and seem human and kind of go, I just know that I'm probably catching you off guard, and you can kind of just do this tiny little like, you suddenly become so much more of a person and so much more somebody that they're like, I don't want to be rude to this person. They're kind of, they could be my friend one day. And like my prospects used to laugh with me. We'd have fun on our calls. My job wasn't just to sit there and be serious and miserable. Oh, I'm a really fun person. I want to go out for drinks all the time. I want to laugh on my calls and enjoy what I'm doing.
It brings a story up. When I was first starting out, I would do this thing just not inherently for a tactic, but someone would say something like, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm a wreck. I'm just new to this cold calling thing. Do I make any sense? And people would like rescue you, right? And when you're vulnerable, not as a tactic, but you're kind of doing it to make yourself a little bit more human. I tell the story of Sheryl Crow was performing in Fort Lauderdale once. She forgot the lyrics to Soak Up the Sun. She's like, hey guys, I forgot the lyrics. Can you help me out? And they rescued her. They're clapping and they're applauding. And that's what happens if you can bring a little more, again, getting real on the call. Jackie, also want to talk to you about how do I structure my day? Right, so many people are like, I come in and I want to make some calls, but I don't. I get busy with myself. So developing the discipline to be consistent, because a lot of this is consistency. We have to have, you know, a certain number of conversations a week. So talk to me about how you think about maximizing someone's time and developing that muscle so that you are consistent. How do you prep? How do you make sure you're, you know, working out every day, I say, so yeah. To speak.
Great question. And there isn't a one size fits all answer for this. But like you said, it is really all about consistency. So I have some reps that perform a lot better in the morning, and they want to get here at 7 o'clock in the morning to kind of just like laser in and get their prospecting done and their admin work. And they would rather be here before others are so that they can get that out of the way. That's fine by me. I have no problem with that. I have others that I know until they've had their 8:15 meeting, their 9 o'clock hangout, their 9:30 coffee, they don't even look at their computer till like 10 o'clock. And as long as they're able to get their stuff done, I don't really care, so long as they're doing what they need to do. So a few things. One, we put parameters in place for how many calls, how many conversations, how many emails they're supposed to make. And then we tell them, basically, if you're not having the amount of conversations that you're supposed to have on those calls, then you need to figure out if you're not digging hard enough to find the right data, or you need to call more people.
By conversation, I want to clarify, this isn't a conversation with a gateman or an admin. This is a conversation with a person that you intended to speak with, right?
Exactly.
And you say, hey, we want you to have X amount of conversations per day.
Yep.
I get it. Okay.
So I'll tell you, like, I'll just walk you through one rep in particular. He walks in the morning. First thing he does is scrubs his accounts. He has 5 accounts that he tries to find, and he tries to add a minimum of 3 people per account into his new cadence. So that's new people that he's reaching out to every day. Then what he does is he actually works from the back up. So maybe he'll have somebody on day 28 that's on their 14th touch. He works those people first because he knows that at the end of the day, he's going to want to get to those new people and he won't let them fall behind. Whereas if he starts with all those new people, then it's easier at the end of the day to go, those people were on day 28, I'll never get to them. So it's a way for him to stay consistent on actually getting through all the tasks that he needs to get through. And then what we've taught our reps to do is basically take a look at themselves and understand and say, just mark out, they have 2 calendars. One of them is their calendar for meetings they attend, and the other one's their calendar for how to get through activities. So maybe 8 to 9 is email, 9 to 10 is calls, 10 to 11 is this, 11 to 12 is vidyards. And so it just reminds them how to stay focused and on what they should be doing. Obviously, some of those blocks are going to get filled up with meetings, but it gives them a consistent structure and they know pretty much the rhythm of what they do every day.
I love that. That's a great tip. And I hear this a lot, which is when you're task switching, meaning you're going from a call to a vidyard to an email, you don't get in the groove, right? So it sounds like, Jackie, you're advocating get into the groove. Again, why am I quoting 80s songs that Jackie has no idea what the heck I'm saying? Or half the people, I'm getting really old. Google it. It's a Madonna song. It's really good. I swear it still holds up. So Jackie, you're proposing like, block off, here's my calls, here's my emails, here's my vidyards. I love that. Jackie, you told another great story. I want you to tell it again because we did it off the air and I thought it was hilarious and we're going to end on it. We don't have to name names. There was somebody that you were coaching and it was a tonality issue that you realized. And this happens so much. You had a great name for it. I don't want to spoil the story, but Jackie, tell the story and what you heard and how you coached this in a nice way, because this is such a common thing. I love this story.
So it's a unique story. This girl actually happened to be a bartender, and she was an incredible bartender when I met her. And the way that she was able, she sold me a rabbit for dinner, and I had a pet bunny.
Wait, whoa. So you have a pet bunny and she's selling you a rabbit for dinner.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And I'm like, no chance. I'm not getting this. And the way she was able to describe it was so eloquent. I was like, there is no chance I'm not getting this. That sounds unbelievable. So here I am with this girl. And I was like, you know what? I know you're a bartender, but you have to come work for my software company. You're the best salesperson I've ever
seen. Wait, how is she describing it? Like, what were you hearing that was so different about how she was describing rabbits?
She was like, it's kind of like this perfect blend of white meat and dark meat chicken, except it's got all the juices of the dark meat with the flavor and the texture of the white meat. She's like, literally the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. And it pairs perfectly with all of the side dishes. And it's got this mac and cheese that'll blow your mind. And I'm sitting there like, I have to get this rabbit. Like, I don't want it, but I have to get it. So anyway, long story short, I end up getting her recruited here. She ends up reporting to me, and I'm really excited that now she's one of my SDRs because she's a great salesperson. And she picks up the phone on her first day and she goes, hello, my name is Jackie. And I was like, oh my God, girl, you are speaking whale. So for those of you who have not seen Finding Nemo, she was literally Dory trying to speak whale every time she picked up the phone.
Oh my God. So she was saying the right, things, but she was speaking whale.
She was really speaking whale. So,
so what do you do? So how do you, in a nice way, right? Like, how do you coach to that?
Well, luckily we had that unique foundation. So I was able to go back to that. And I said, listen, like, I was literally at a restaurant out of the blue, and I thought that you were the most incredible salesperson I had ever seen, and I knew that I needed to have you on my team. I said, I don't want you to take this from a condescending place, but you are speaking whale every time you pick up the phone. I was like, I have nothing but faith that you can do this job. There's a reason I recruited you, but I need you to get back to your roots and understand who you are and why you're a confident person and how eloquently you can speak. And I need that to come through on the phones, because what you are doing right now is ridiculous. And it was that it's being real. It's that real, open, honest conversation. She could have been speaking whale for 6 months had I not called her out on day one.
And P.S., this has also improved her relationship. She's now met the guy of her dream. She's happy, successful. That Jackie has helped her in way more ways than just this job. So Jackie, something else I picked up on here, guys, and this is subtle stuff, but I want to bring it out because it might not be obvious. When Jackie says speaking whale, that's a nice thing to, like, that's funny. Right? Like, rather than saying you're speaking like this and your inflection is this, like, speak like, that's going to make me laugh. And when people are laughing when you're coaching them, this is a biological thing. Oxytocin is released. And when you feel good, you laugh and you smile, you want more of that person. It's just natural. I mean, raise your hand if you've ever wanted to be around people you don't like. Probably none of you have raised your hands. You like to be around people that make you feel good. And I sense in this call, I know Jackie has made me feel good. Hopefully she's made you feel good as well. And can you make your team feel good as well when you want them to improve? Jackie, thank you so much for sharing so much gold and being so generous with your time. You're awesome. And before we get off this call, even though you've been doing it the whole podcast masterfully, plugging Sales Loft in a masterful way, whoever is listening to this, if you're the CEO of Sales Loft, I mean, this is like one of the best, you know, natural ways to be able to promote content. You weave it in. You don't wait till the end. You weave it into the stories. Content marketing at its finest. Jackie, how do we learn more about Sales Loft and what is it and how can we learn more?
Yeah, so Sales Loft is an incredible tool. You can definitely find us at salesloft.com. We also host an annual conference called Rainmaker. I'm actually the co-chair for the Sales Mastery Track. So for anybody who wants to come, especially if you've listened to this podcast, reach out to me and I'll see about getting you discounted tickets. Anyone who comes in a group of four will get you an automatic 50% off. But basically, we are a tool that helps make all salespeople perform better. The reason I came here is because I went to the Rainmaker conference, thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever been to. And when it came time for me to look for my next job, I said, there's no better place for me than Sales Loft. They made my career. So even though ION was where I got my start, Sales Loft was a tool that helped make me who I am today. So that's why I'm here. And I encourage everyone to take a look at it.
And if you call Jackie and leave her a message, she will call you back and you'll get a little taste of Jackie. So go ahead and take her up on that. Jackie, I could not be happier for you. You've such a great career, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me today.